Psalms 92, 12 through 14. And here we go. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in their old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. You know, me as a pastor, I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, and usually it's not, oh, life is good, life is wonderful, things are going so great. No, normally it's, life is falling apart, my husband just left me, my kids are in dire need, I don't know what I'm doing. And my first question for them is, when was the last time you were in church? And normally they say to me, oh, you know, I came last Sunday. And I said, okay, so did you come the Sunday before that? Well, no, I haven't really been here for about 6 months, maybe a year. And I just think to myself, well, right there's your problem. Because those that are planted in the house of God will flourish. And you say, oh, I know, Pastor Jess, you guys always tell us this. Well, we always tell you this because sometimes we need to be told something over and over and over again. Did you know you have to listen to a message 8 times to get it in your spirit? Did you know that? 8 times. Yeah. Because we're human. We walk out these doors and all of a sudden we're thinking about lunch. We're thinking about what are we going to do with the kids? We're thinking about what did my husband need me to get? I forgot. Darn it. You know, and we're just off to something else. And you forget the points. You forget what it is. But let me remind you, those that are planted in the house of God will flourish. And I don't know about you, but in this recession, you need to flourish. In this time of need and in this time of poverty and worry and fear and doubt, we can come into the house of God and we can flourish. But guess what? It's your choice. It's your choice. You know, I was thinking about this and I was talking to God about it. And he's like, okay, how do you feel when you go home, when you go to your mom's house? And I said, geez, when I go to my mom's house, I can go in my pajamas. I can get in her refrigerator. I can be comfortable. I feel totally safe. Where if the doors were unlocked at my house, I'd make sure they're locked. But at my mom's house, I'm like, oh, who cares? We're safe. My dad's here. You know, and I just feel safe. I feel comfortable. There's a security there. And when I was talking to my daughter last night, I was preaching my message to her before she went to sleep. And so I'm telling Chloe, okay, so when I go to my mom's house, and she, your mom's house, I said, yeah, Nana's house, okay. And I go, how do you feel when you go to Nana's house? She goes, well, I like it a lot because I play with my Dora kitchen and I get to play dress up. And she goes on and on and on. And I said, well, when I go, I feel safe. And she goes, oh, yeah, I feel safe at Nana's house. So cute. But it's true. When you go to your mom's house, there's something about, there's a comfort there. You know, my mother has always made a home, no matter how small it's been, no matter where it's been, I felt like I was home. And when you come into the house of God, I want you to know that we create atmospheres for you to feel safe. Because not only is the presence of God here, but there's a company of people that will love you and back you up and support you. Just like when I go home, my mom, I remember one time I was trying to get pregnant and I walked into the kitchen and I was just devastated. And my mom was at the kitchen and she's at the sink with her back turned to me and she turns around and she goes, you're worried. You're worried you're not going to get pregnant, are you? And we cried together and we prayed together and there was just safety there. She just knew me. She knew what I needed. Just like that, God knows you and he knows what you need. And he provides this house for you to come and for you to feel safe. So, point number one, how is my life affected by the house of God? How is your life going to be affected when you stay planted and when you flourish in the house of God? Number one, it is a place of safety. Ezekiel 28:26. He's talking about the Israelites, and he said, as they dwell safely there, they will build houses. They will plant vineyards, yes. They will dwell securely. When I execute judgment on all those around them who despise them, then they shall know that I am their God. How many of you need God to plant some vineyards for you? How many of you need to feel secure? Because maybe your finances are very insecure. Maybe your marriage is very insecure right now. Maybe things just aren't falling into place right now. But God says, wait a second, come to the house, get security, get refreshed. You know, we do praise and worship. Why? Because you walk in with junk. And you need the junk to be put off and you need God to be put on. Okay? So when you come to the house of God, there's security, there's safety. I remember I used to work with the youth group. And we had, you know, my job was very hard in the youth group. I would tell people, be quiet, quit talking. Or I would wake them up. Okay, that was my job. Pastor already gave me the hardest job. So I remember one time there was this teenage boy, and he would always sit in the back, and he was a happy kid. He would come in totally full of energy, and then all of a sudden, right when the message would start, I mean, this kid was like snoring. He was like head back, mouth open, gone. Every single time. So finally, we're having our staff meeting, and I'm like, listen, Pastor Eddie, I don't know what to do with this kid. He falls asleep all the time. And he said, Jess, that kid goes home to a drug-infested home where he's beat up every day, and this is the only place he feels safe enough to sleep. And I began to just cry because God provided this house for him. And I don't know where he is, but I believe we planted a seed in him. I believe he saw the goodness of God. And when I knew that, it was like, go ahead, sleep. You know, here's a blanket, you know. And believe me, we were all over him, loving him, encouraging him. But you never know who you're sitting by. You don't know what they walk in today with. You don't know what they go home to today. You don't know by outer appearance what's happening in their hearts. But guess who does? Our Lord and Jesus Christ. And he says, let me build a house for you, so you can come and be safe, and for you to come and feel security, for you to come and get refreshed, filled back up, equipped, and empowered to do what it is I've called you to do. Because you see, I've been telling my counselings this a lot lately. It seems like we can spend our whole life trying to fix us. But then what's the point? Because then we're not doing the will of God. See, God brings this here so you can fix you here, so you could go out and do what he needs you to do out there. Okay, so how is my life affected by the house of God? Number one, it is a place of safety. Number two, it is a place to receive direction. I don't know about you, but how many times have you come into church and you've thought, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just devastated. I need an answer from you, God, and you've received something from the word of God. Pastor Jim's opened his mouth. Pastor Deborah said something. There's a scripture that was said. Somebody said something to you at the back door. But you know what? God has direction for you in the house of God. If you're looking, you're looking in all the wrong places. If you're not looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there is no counsel, the people will fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 24:6 says, for by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And you know what? We just talked about safety, but not just that. In a multitude of people, there's counsel. There's protection. There's wisdom. There's accountability. You may live your life alone right now, but guess what? The girls next to you need to be your accountability partners. When you're not doing something right, someone needs to be able to say, listen, I really just don't think you're doing it right. You're wondering why things aren't happening. Well, you haven't been in church in about 6 months. You know, you're just not doing it. Well, it seems like when I tell people that they're not in church 6 months, they still don't come. So maybe if you tell them, they'll come. Because they know Pastor Jess is looking for them. You know, there was a story of a lady. There was Girls Night Out, Holiday Girls Night Out. She just touched our hearts. You know, we're in a rampage, okay, at the very, like, closest weeks. And poor Eleanor has already, like, had too many expos, okay? And we're like, don't you dare add another expo. So Eleanor sends this email through, and she's like, can we please just add one more expo? And I'm just like, no. You know, I didn't even read the letter. So anyway, so I began to read this lady's testimony, and she came to church, and her life was dramatically changed. But let me tell you, she's just like you guys. She came, and she listened to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to read her story to you. You guys want to hear her testimony? Because we don't get to hear about our own testimonies, huh? This house needs to tell our story a little bit better, don't you think? The story of Alex, her name is Alex. She said, last year in December, I was newly saved just 2 months. And we had been going through a really hard time. We were living in these apartments, and I had met a woman there. And we were going to the Wednesday services together, taking the bus with our 7 kids. And his word was what we were living on. At one point in December, we had no electricity. We have 5 kids in a 2-bedroom apartment. We ate out of a cooler with ice. We had candles and a flashlight for 2 weeks. No TV. We just kept in faith, and we read our Bible. I really didn't know how I was going to have Christmas for my kids. I had heard a message. There it is, direction again. I had heard a message at a service with Pastor Jim, and he was saying, give all of our worries to him. When God said that to me, I said this to the Lord. You give my kids Christmas this year then. We wanted to go to the Girls Night Out, but we didn't have any money. We went and we asked for the Pastor Deborah special. My husband had given $5 to shop, but I really couldn't afford anything. But I gained so much that night. I gained a deeper understanding of faith because of what I had heard that night. Again, she received direction. The next week, my friend found $100 on the street and gave me $50, and the Lord stretched that money. On Christmas Eve, we received an eviction notice, but the Lord had a friend call us and ask if we knew anyone who wanted to rent a house for half the rent that we were paying, that we could move in right away, and we were just amazed. We started tithing, even if all of our needs had to wait, we tithed. Once I tithed only 35 cents. That was all that we had. And this was last December. Today, I have a great job. My husband had got a job, and it now pays $1,000 a month more. We were in the process of buying a home, and we have tithed up to $1,000 in 1 month. And the best part of this amazing relationship we have with the Lord is our children and each other. We serve our church, and we love in amazement of what God does through the amazing pastors and for the world. This is just a small piece of my testimony. So when I set up, I know what it feels to be on the other side of the table with $5 and 5 kids. So my goal is that I can have a $5 table and somebody can get 5 things for a dollar. And she said, just thank you so much for the opportunity. Just let this be a blessing to others and touch others' hearts. Her name is Alex. Alex goes to our church. Alex works in our children's ministry. Alex, his husband, heard this testimony Pastor Eleanor was telling me, and he said, oh, that is just a piece of what God did for us. Just a piece. But guess what? Number one, they were planted in the house of God. They were safe and secure here, even though they went home and they didn't feel any of that. They were able to come to the house and be secure. And number three, guys, they actually received direction. They actually heard the word and did something about it. And that's your jobs. I can't make you walk out of here and do what the word of God says. But I can tell you, and I can get in your face and I can say, enough's enough. You can put up what the enemy has given you, or you can walk out of here in victory and know that your God will get you through this time. Because he's given you the house of God to prepare you to equip you. Let's go to number three. How is my life affected by the house of God? It is a place of safety. It is a place to receive direction. Okay, so now that we've talked about what God's house does for you, and let me tell you, there's like a million more things God's house does for you. This could be like a whole series, okay? But I only have so much time. So I had to keep it simple. Point three, it is a place for you that you get to do your part. You say, oh gosh, why did you have to go there? It was really good when God was doing something for me. Well, guess what? You get to do something for God. Those that are planted in the house flourish. Sometimes you probably look at us pastors and go, oh, they're just so blessed. Look at their happy marriages and their nice houses and their decent cars and their families that just love each other so much. Well, guess what? You're darn right. And we love each other, but guess what? We are planted in the house of God. We are faithful. We are steady. And you remember how Pastor Eleanor was talking about being generous? That's an opportunity. I love to give. It is the funnest thing for me. My husband and I are trying to give away our car, and he's just not letting us. It's so frustrating. So, I mean, it's just so fun. It's just something that we live off of. But that's because we've heard, we've gotten direction in the house. We've learned that. And that's why we're blessed. And guess what? You can be blessed too, because God is not a respecter of persons. But he says, what can you do for the house? Are you sitting? Are you coming and getting and getting and getting and getting and not giving anything? Because that's not what I've called you to do. This is not about you. I love you all, but this really isn't about you. This really isn't about me. This is about them. Did you see the lines today when you drove in? This is about them. We're here on this earth to fulfill his will, to love people to life, to build them up so that they can get saved, so their lives can be changed, so they can get someone else saved, and then on and on and on. But what are you doing? Have you put your hand to the plow? Have you served in your church? Many of you are faithful as I look around. Many of you, I don't know if you're even involved. So let's look at this. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible because they just say it so beautifully. So you can look behind me and they'll have it up. Psalms 116, 12 through 19. And if you could let this be your prayer, your life would be changed. What can I give back to God for the blessings he has poured out on me? I lift high my cup of salvation and I toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I have promised God that I would do. And I'll do it together with his people. When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those that love him. Oh God, here I am, your servant, your faithful servant. Set me free for your service. I am ready to offer the thanksgiving of sacrifice and to pray in your name, and to pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I have promised, God, and I will do, and I'll do I'll do it in the company of his people, in the place of worship, in God's house, in Jerusalem, God's city. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's just an anthem of excited, like, okay, what can I do, God? What do you have for me? You know, I love it when people come and they're like, seriously, I'm just ready. Just put me to work. Just put me to work. Because it's like, I just send them to Eleanor because she knows exactly what we need to do. But it's just so cool because they're excited. And you know what I think in my head right away? I'm like, ooh, they're going to get blessed. Ooh, that life is going to open up for them. Doors are going to open that they never expected. Things are going to start happening for them. Because when you do something for the things of God, God starts to unlock things in your life. He starts to build things that could not be built before. If you're kind of at a standstill in your life, kind of at a door, you're kind of not doing anything, maybe you need to go and ask God what it is he needs you to do for him. You see, when we serve in the house of God, it unlocks our hearts to see what God sees. Because you know why? Because you're then with the people. You then get to talk to them. You know what they're going through. You know that when they walk through the door, if they're not smiling like they normally do, maybe I need to pray for them. When that mom drops off her child and she's just had a horrible morning and she got in a fight with her husband again, and here we go, but at least she's here. You can be an encouragement if you're in the children's ministry. Say, don't you worry about it. I'm going to love your kids today. You go get the word. Do you see what I'm saying? Every need. You may think, oh, I'm just an usher. Just put the papers on the table and pick up the offering. Yeah, well, guess what? If you didn't, maybe someone didn't get their lives changed today. If you didn't show up for your post, and if you didn't stand in your spot for the kingdom, maybe somebody would have been missed. Because God needs you. He's anointed you to stand at that door, to be an usher. Becky, back there in the sound booth, I know it's so like, oh my gosh, nobody even knows I'm here. But you couldn't even hear the word if it weren't for Becky. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything has a significance. And we can so look at it in a negative perspective, or we can look at it in a godly perspective and say, no. I'm not going to be negative about my position. I'm going to be blessed in the position they've given me. And whatever they ask me to do, I will do it with a good attitude. And I will be a blessing to the kingdom. It allows us to love others, to be a part of the big picture, to put our hand to the plow, to build the kingdom and build others. If you girls would go with me to Romans 12. You know, the thing about God is he doesn't just tell us to do something and then leave us like with nothing. The cool thing is he's given us gifts. He's given you things inside of you, and he's planted little thoughts and things in your heart. And guess what? You might think that, what is that? What am I going to ever do with that? You know, Tammy Swaltz, I don't know if she's here today. But for so long, Tammy was like, I don't know where I fit in. I just don't know what I should do. Well, guess what? You know all those parties over there outside? Yeah, Tammy found her place. Tammy is the most creative woman in the world, and she gets to work with Pastor Sue, and they create something beautiful for you girls to come and enjoy. And Tammy, you love it, don't you? You love it. I mean, I just know. She's like on cloud nine. Every time she's here, she can't wait. You know, I mean, her son was getting married, and she was here doing your party, and then she ran to the wedding. I'm like thinking you're crazy, you know? Like, I'd probably be freaking out about my son getting married. So, but she loves it. You got to find what it is that God gives you. You'll end up loving it. You know, the funny thing is, Paul Leshko, I was talking to him last night about his daughter. He was telling me his daughter, Taylor, wanted to be a vet. And then Marilyn Skinner from Wototo came 2 years ago at Daughters Conference. You guys remember her? And he inspired her. And so now she wants to be an architect, and she wants to build buildings in third world countries where people have nothing. And she wants to provide everything for them. And so she is just like on a rampage to become this architect, and she's going to do this for God. And I just thought to myself, wow, God grabbed her heart, inspired her. She's putting her hand to the plow. She's working her butt off to babysit. I mean, this girl's like, I'll babysit. Like, she just wants money so she can do her job. But she comes to the house of God, and she also serves here. I mean, she already has it in her heart. Can you imagine where she's going to be when she's 25 years old? She's going to be doing what God called her to do. But you know what? The youth workers that work in youth, you're the ones blessing her. You're the one serving Taylor, and one day she's going to serve you. And one day she's going to serve your kids. And one day she's going to be a blessing for the kingdom. And one day she's going to see people saved. And one day she's going to go do something you wouldn't go do. But you know what? That's because she served in the house of God and because someone served her. What a blessing that is. In Romans 12, 5 through 8, it says, so we bring many of one, we being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts offering according to the grace it is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. Let us use them. What a concept. Like, maybe we should do something about it. Because how many times are we sitting there going, oh, I could do that, but you don't say anything. Or, I like doing parties and stuff, but, oh, it's okay, they already have what they need. Or, oh, I play an instrument and I sing. Oh, but you know what, they've got it all covered. Look how good all of them are. They look like they got it together. No, we need help everywhere, always, constantly. Get your butt in gear and be with us. Be a part of us. Come do what we do. Watch and see what God does in your life. Use your gifts that he has given you. Because if you can sing, that is a cool gift. I so cannot sing. I was watching American Idol last night. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I know I can't sing. And these people really can't sing. What are they thinking? It's really funny. Okay, so anyways, back to the word. Verse 6, it says, if prophecy, let him prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Come on. All of you have something like that. All of you have something like that. You know, it's funny. My mother-in-law, my mom was talking about my grandma, remember last week, about how she's funny and happy and always, literally the woman doesn't ever stop laughing. It's true. You get on the phone, you're like, why am I laughing? I don't know why I'm laughing. So, but my grandma, she's so cute, you just keep laughing with her. My mother-in-law is the same way. She just laughs and laughs and laughs. Michael will do something funny. And I'm like thinking, wow, I really need to laugh more like her, because seriously, there's like freedom in it. And then it makes me happy when some person laughs and somebody else laughs, and then it's contagious. And it is such an awesome gift. That's cheerfulness. And if you can give just that to someone on a gloomy day, that would be a blessing. If you could show mercy to someone when maybe they've done you wrong, maybe they're just not doing something right. You know what? It's true. My son, he got in my drawer today and he started like ripping all of my earrings out of my jewelry box. And I'm just like getting really more mad and more mad and more mad. I'm like, Micah, stop it. Like, he's like totally boy and he's discovering the world. Okay. So like, he's like throwing my earrings, throwing them. And I'm just like, I'm trying to get ready. I can't find it out, but I don't have any clothes. I'm just like so frustrated. Everything in my closet's my mom's. Stop giving me clothes so I can go shopping. Because my husband won't let me shop if I have her clothes. So anyways, I like her clothes, but still. Anyway, so I'm just like totally bummed out. And Micah's throwing my earrings everywhere. Dan is like trying to like make my shoes a little bit more shiny because these are like 4 years old. And so like he tried to make them look better. But then he gets the black stuff on the carpet, you know? So I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, come on. This is just chaos. The phone's ringing. My sister's coming through the front door with her son, and I'm not dressed, okay? I'm in my bra and underwear, and I'm just like, hi. So my dad's calling. Can you come pick up your mom? Sure. Okay, don't pick up your mom. Okay. You know, it was just chaos. And I thought to myself, I get to go to the house of God, and I can't wait to be with the girls because there is so much chaos in my life. But I did hear from God because Micah was throwing the earrings, right? I'll go back to that story, sorry. So Micah's throwing the earrings and I'm getting more mad, and God's like, don't get so mad at him. And I'm like, just stop throwing my earrings. Like, I'm getting mad at him, and he's like, whatever. And he just keeps throwing them. So then I push him out of the closet and I shut the door so I can at least pick up the earrings without him trying to throw them back out again. And he is just like so hurt. I mean, you would think like I killed him. And he's like on the floor, just like, you hurt my feelings, Mom. And so I go out and God says, you have mercy on this little one. He didn't know what he did wrong. And you love him. And I was like, all right. So I pick him up and I go sit on the chair with him and I explain to him, you don't throw mommy's earrings, but I love you. And he just nestled in and he gave me a hug. And you could just tell he knew he was wrong, but he so just needed me to love him and show mercy in that moment. And you know, I don't know what moments you may have during the day, but show some mercy, because it'll soften the hearts of the people that you're trying to minister to, you're trying to love, you're trying to be with daily. So anyways, that was a little story of my flaws. I have something else that I wanted to read you guys. There's a story of, it's called The Story of the Tater Family, and I want you to, everything that I say, I want you to think, oh, maybe that's me. Oh, wait, maybe that's me. Okay, so I'm going to read this to you. Dick Tater, he's a self-appointed person who feels everything should be done his way. He never serves or works. He just bosses others around. Amy Tater, she's the member of the family who follows all the latest fads. She's never really discovered her own identity because she's always busy trying to be like someone else. Hezzy Tater, when Hezzy is asked to help at church, he knows he should, but he always puts it off. So he sure enough will get around to serving God someday. Carmen Tater. Carmen has an opinion about everything and, you know, never needs to be asked what she thinks because she's the first to tell you. The Spectator. Spec's favorite phrase is, I love to work. I can watch others do it for hours. I don't have to get involved, but she is a great overseer. Agitator. When Aggie was in school, she got poor marks on her play well with others. Aggie is continually in conflict and with others and always seems to be involved in strife and division. No matter what the pastor of the church does, it's never good enough in Aggie's eyes. Sweet Tater, this is the only cordial and cooperative member of the Tater family. Sweet Tater is the ideal member of the church. She has a great attitude, is faithful, committed, supported, involved. She doesn't dictate, imitate, hesitate, communicate, spectate, and agitate. So which one of these are you? You all are going, oh gosh. You're all the Sweet Taters, right? So today we talked about loving the house of God. And girls, I want you to be in love with the house. Because when you come here, God will fill you up so you can go out and do your job. So let's go back over it real quick. How is my life affected by the house of God? It is a safe place for me. It is a safe place for you. It is a safe place for your children. If you're going through a hard time, we have pastors here that can help you. If you need food, we can feed you. Whatever it is a place of refuge. This is a home where you can be safe, just like I am when I go home with my mom. Number two, it is a place to receive direction. When life is falling down around you, this is where you need to be, because the word of God is going out and you're going to receive it and your life will be changed forever if you take it. And number three, it is a place I get to do my part. It is a place we get to do our part. It is a place that we get to put our hand to the plow and open up opportunity, open up blessing in our life, but not just ours, to give to someone else, to be a blessing to someone else's life. So if you got something from God today, girls, go ahead and give him a hand.